Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Your Collective. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Your Collective. So today we're going to dive into something that, interestingly enough, I've been involved in for the better part of my adult career. And I can be a bit of a planner. And so when I was planning, you know, the outline of this podcast and what I wanted, like the first year of episodes to talk about, money was on there. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, who do I know who's really got their money point on game or on point? Sorry, that's what I mean. Their money game on point. And I was trying to think or bring to my mind somebody who was female and perhaps somebody who had approached it in a way that was like not necessarily traditional, because there are a lot of resources available for managing money, you know, in a very traditional sense. And what I mean is, like, you know, you've got your bank accounts, money in, money out, budgeting, you know, savings, RSPs, TFSAs, da 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 da. And I wrote down a name of somebody who I'd come across, and she's a pretty big personality. But I was like, you know what, I'm just going to put it out there because you never know. And as I was getting closer to the time when I wanted to introduce what I'm going to refer to as the money series and why it's important to me, I had reached out to this person and I didn't hear back. And I was just like, okay, no problem. But then the more, and how did I find this person? I found this person because they wrote a book and I liked their story. But when I started to actually dig in to their approach to money, I realized that it was traditional and I was trying to get away from that. So then I started thinking, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't make it so specific to women. Maybe I'm being too limiting within this. So then I decided I would talk to a financial planner. But when I talked to the financial planner, and he's a great guy, I was just, again, came away from the conversation feeling like, that's not quite right either. It just didn't feel right. So I was talking to a friend and I told her what I wanted. And I said, not only am I looking to work with somebody personally for myself, but also somebody who I can have on the podcast to like share their tips and tricks for, you know, the broader audience. And she said, don't worry, you put it out there, it will come. And that was probably about a week ago. Now, let's just roll back a little bit to why I wanted to talk about money. Because money is such a big part of our individual experiences. And I have personally never had a problem earning money. Earning money has never been a roadblock. I dare say I am excellent at earning money. My challenge, I guess you could say, is holding on to it. And, you know, when you look at it at a really high level and, you know, when I'm having conversations with people, I'd be like, no, I'm not a frivolous spender, because I'm not a frivolous spender. Like, I don't buy meaningless things. Like, you know, I wouldn't call myself frugal, but I'm not a shopaholic. But then I started to really think about my shopping habits and what motivated me to spend money. And it dawned on me, I'm like, maybe, just maybe, I'm not as thrifty of a spender as I thought that I was. And because this is obviously not an experience that's just unique to me, almost everybody who I have an experience with in one way or another is talking about the scarcity of money. And I witnessed in my own experience, so for, I don't know, from 2008, I became, actually my entire adult career, for the majority of my adult career, I have been involved in money, like credit and consumer financing, commercial financing, that sort of thing. So the entirety of my adult career. So I have, I would say, a strong comfort with money. I understand money, so on and so forth. But as a mortgage broker, this is really where I witnessed it, because I'm, you know, wholly responsible for what I earn. If I don't do the work and be disciplined in how I approach the work, then there may be a paycheck, there may not be a paycheck. So I was generally speaking pretty disciplined about it. But a pattern that I witnessed in my experience as a mortgage broker is that anytime I started to get anxious about money, or I started to worry about money, or I wasn't motivated for the right reason for money. So in other words, there's this phrase I would always use, chasing the deal. If I was chasing the deal either A, would fall apart, or B, it would be an excruciating experience for both myself and the client. So I really tried to shift my approach to my clients from one of, I gotta get that deal, to, I only want to work with the people who are right to work with me. And as soon as I was able to genuinely put out there that I only want to work with people who can see the value in what I am bringing to the experience and want to work with me. And it wasn't about the money anymore. It was just about creating an experience of education and empowering the client to make really great decisions about, you know, what is often the biggest purchase of their lives. It shifted everything. And the last time I had to learn this lesson was a few years ago. And it was, I was co-brokering quite a few of my deals at that point in time with another broker. And I was in this real strong scarcity mindset, like, oh my gosh, there's not enough. And I have to share. I have to share with this other broker. And so I'd made a very conscious decision of, I'm not sharing the next few deals that come in. And I think I had like 13 deals or something like that, something ridiculous come in. And I decided I wasn't going to share. And that was our agreement. It wasn't nefarious or anything like that. It was just, you know, I can work on the ones that I want to, and I won't share commissions, and the ones I share with you are the ones that I share with you. But because I was in this scarcity mindset, I remember the energy, and I was like, I'm going to keep all of these deals to myself. And as luck would have it, yes, 13 deals came in, but 13 deals did not close. I think every single last one of them fell apart. And for various reasons, not because the clients weren't great, but they were just so painful. They weren't flowing. And it was at that point that I was so frustrated by the end of it, because I put in all this effort, all this energy, chasing the deal, and every one of them fell apart. And I was like, you know better by now. You know better. And it was interesting to me, because, you know, the divine is always reminding me that everything that I need will always be provided. And I mean everything. So the trick isn't, you know, make your needs smaller. The trick is make your receiving tank bigger. Dream bigger. So anyways, that was the last time that I needed reminding of that. So the money series came up on the outline because it's such an integral part of all of our individual experiences. And I don't even just mean as individuals. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, owning a business, like, money is always at the forefront of your mind, or of whoever's mind in the business. And I think as soon as we understand intention and the energy that we put out, and that currency, money, is an energy. It is meant to flow. And I find that saying, I'm saying that to my people often, right? Like, instead of being supremely tight-fisted about never letting this money go, as soon as we recognize that it's meant to move, like, and that doesn't mean be irresponsible with it and spend all of it. It just means that it is meant to be used, to be out there in circulation. So I decided that these next few episodes would talk about money, and to a certain extent, my own. And this is a journey, an active journey, like right now. So as soon as I made the decision that I was not only going to look at how I approach money, but also kind of share that experience with you, and I went down this path of like, okay, well, how do I want to do this? And something super interesting happened. So as soon as I recognized that I didn't want to have this experience with a traditional mindset. And in my mind, what traditional is exactly what I said, right? Like money in, money out, budgets, TFSAs, RRSPs, et cetera, et cetera. And I really wanted to be able to do this in a way where I could infuse my spirituality and rely a little more, no, not even a little more, a lot more on my intuition and being guided down the path and how we were actually going to have some success with this particular phase. And so the other day, I'd made a list. This happened like 2 days ago. I made a list of all these things that I wanted to accomplish. And I looked at the calendar and I'm like, okay, there's like 4.5 months left in the year. I'm like, this is a heavy list, but I believe that everything is possible. Everything is possible. Every possibility of everything that can happen is possible. That's legitimately how I think about things. So I was like, okay. And money was one of the things on my list. As soon as I literally put pen to paper, I put it so there, I had the idea. I put pen to paper. Now I've actually set this intention. That same day, my sciatic nerve starts killing me. And on my right side, so I go to my trusty book, and you guys have talked about this book before, Louise Hay, Heal Your Body, Heal Your Life. And I look it up. And sciatic nerve is about fear of money. And this made no sense to me. I'm like, what? I'm not scared of money. I want more money. I want to be better with it. What do you mean I'm scared of it? And it didn't even go away. So I was just like, okay, so this is some, and I mean, like, I'm going to yoga, I'm doing like deep hip stretches, I'm like trying to like really open this up. So I have an awareness that it has something to do with money, but it doesn't quite make sense and it's not going away. But the more I started to dive into the path and which way I wanted to go with this, this is the super cool part and the reason why I just love this journey so much. Well, most days I try to love it, let's say it like that. So I was looking up this author that I was telling you about. I didn't mention her name. And she had a whole bunch of other authors on her website, and one of them was talking about healing your trauma around money. So I tried to go to her website and I got one of those do not go here pop-ups, and I was like, and I tried to go twice and I couldn't go. So I was just like, okay, clearly I'm not supposed to go that way, so I'm not going to go that way. And then the idea dawned on me. Okay, let me get on Audible. Let me see if I can find a book or a podcast that talks around about healing, limiting beliefs around money. And so I put that in, healing money, money healing. And this lady pops up, and that's the name of her podcast, the Money Healing Podcast. I'm like, okay. And so I read her description, and I mean, this is a synchronicity. That's the point of my story. I'm reading her description, and her description talks about being a money coach that works with healers, light workers, people who are in like that line of work, and how to like free yourself from the scarcity mindset that often can come when you are working as a healer, and how to like heal the trauma around money. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. This is absolutely the way to go. So I listened to like her first podcast or second podcast. And then I was like, okay. And as soon as, and then of course, it's always like a rabbit hole, because then I listened to another person's podcast who was on her show. And this lady was absolutely talking about the trauma. And I use the word, it is a catchphrase these days, but I love the way that she actually said it on her podcast. And what she said was, money trauma isn't what happened to you. It's events that you witness or experiences that you have and how you internalize them. So ultimately, the story we begin to tell ourselves about money. And she used a really relatable example. She said she had this entrepreneur that made really great money, but she couldn't hold money. And so once they started doing this deeper work around, it's like, okay, where, and it is work, because you gotta figure it out. You gotta find it. It's not, it's rarely like a, this is the problem. You kind of gotta go through a case of like, investigating yourself. So once she'd gone through this process, she realized that this entrepreneur had guilt around being so successful, but living in an environment where there was abject poverty. So because she had this guilt, yes, she could earn money, but she was also giving it away as quickly as it came. And that really resonated with me, really, really resonated with me. And I guess the reason it resonated with me is because now I won't get into what my guilt is, but I recognize periods in my life where I have felt guilty about something. And because I feel guilty, my automatic go-to is let me throw money at it. Let me throw money at it, because that'll make me feel better about how shitty I feel about being guilty or feeling guilty about this other thing. And so I am super stoked because it, as soon as, and I was going to sit down this morning and write in my journal about whatever I was going to write about, and then it dawned on me, I'm like, oh my gosh, my sciatica is gone. All week it's been bothering me. And today I was just like, it's gone. And that's how I know I found it. Because as soon as that thing flares up in my body that I can feel, and I go down this path of investigating, like, what is it? What is it that I need to peel back more layers on? And I knew that money was something that I needed to deal with, because the other thing that I started paying attention to is how often things come up in conversation. And on a previous podcast with somebody else, it wasn't specifically about money, but money can be related to success depending on what your definition of success was. And in this podcast, we were talking about it, and I'd already identified only in that moment when I'd said it to the guest, and I think it was Jessica Denikin. I think I'd said, I think the block in my mind, or what I grapple with, is the mindfulness that I always want to remain rooted and grounded and centered in love. I never want money. I never want to be distracted by what money can do for me. I know what money can do for me, but I don't want to lose control of that. And I'm trying to be very careful with my verbiage, because I do believe that when you put words out there, you're also putting intentions out there. So I think what I'm really trying to say is I wanted to ensure, to the very best of my abilities, that money allowed me to stay true to who I am at my core. And that somewhere in my programming, there is an idea that money or lots of it will not allow for that to happen. Now, I can see now that that's shifting and changing, because the awareness is there. And because the awareness is there, I can be more mindful about it. I can be more intentional about it. I can be more conscious about how I'm spending my money and where I'm putting my money. So this is a huge thing for me. Money is often something that is spoken about with shame and embarrassment. And I personally would love to take the shame and the embarrassment away from it. In fact, I'm a strong believer that we should be talking about money more. How do we create wealth as individuals, as businesses, for communities, for our children, for the next generation? How do we create literacy around it? And so for me, I hope you enjoy. So this is, you know, part one in my money series. It's my intention to share the journey with you, because I have a couple of ideas on how I'm going to share this so that it can be relatable. And for those of you out there who are amazing with money and the traditional way works for you, I'm extremely happy for you. I genuinely am. All that I know is that it wasn't working for me. I needed to approach it in a very different way. And I'm so happy that the divine has led me to walk this journey on money and have this conversation very openly with all of you. So I hope you enjoy the next few episodes that are going to dive a little bit more into money. And until next time, take care.